This is the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB.
Robin Christofferson is from AbilityNet. He's head of inclusion there for digital accessibility, and he joins us now. Hi, Robin.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Robin.
Good to have you here. we're having a bit of a debate here on the show, as you're probably aware of. Technology specialist versus mainstream is ultimately the question. Now, I guess you might say, because you're a bit of a diplomat, Robin, I have to say. This is why I wanted you on the show, because I knew you'd referee this conversation well. That's going to end up being me.
You're going to arbitration.
Sean. Yeah, exactly. That's it. But I think it's so important that we sort of talk about this. But I think we should maybe kick it off by saying, is there such a thing as a need for a debate around specialist versus mainstream? Or should we actually say, well, you know what, there's options out there, choose what works for you?
So I think it's worth setting the scene. And I know you guys have covered this on many occasions. And, you know, the Victorita stream is a case in point. But, you know, a bit of scene setting, not too long ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I had a backpack full of stuff. And it cost an arm and a leg, and each one had a separate charger. You know, Trekker Breeze, 750 quid. The Book Courier, do you remember that? That was 275. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talking barcode scanner, talking note taker, all of these things. So that's the kind of context for me. And I'm a huge fan of the fact that us blind people can do things that we couldn't do before in a way that is mainstream. Things that are that used to be relatively limited. They were good at what they did, but often they weren't updated very often, and they certainly cost a lot of money, can now be done with, for example, a smartphone. And last week you were talking about if you've got a smartphone, you know, and you mentioned £700, Stephen. That is absolutely true. In fact, you could pay £1,200 for an iPhone these days. Mm-hmm. But I just checked in the store, and the SE starts at 349. And, you know, Seeing AI, that is all the latest hotness, runs well on that. Or you could get something like a 6S for somewhere in between, you know, around the £500 or £600 mark. And you can get a lot of refurbished ones as well that Apple do that are as good as new for even less. So I just want to throw that in there, because I think what it boils down to in many people's minds is smartphone versus specialist when we're talking about mainstreaming of of tech. So I just wanted to get the baseline here. Smartphones, I think, are affordable. They can be hugely expensive as well if you want the latest thing. But the main argument that it comes down to is how usable, how acceptable a sheet of glass, a device that's, you know, driven by a sheet of glass would be to some users. So whilst the three of us here, totally into our smartphones, for some people, the Victorita stream would be the only choice. And I'm thinking of my mum. She doesn't have a mobile talking book solution, but she does have those big talking book machines that you slip the CD into, and it's got the big buttons on it.
Yep.
And that's how she consumes all of her talking books, and that's all it does.
Okay, all right, okay. But here's the thing. Well, since we'll use our mothers here, because this is always the case, isn't it? I do my mum test with a lot of technology. You know, can my mum work it out? If she can work it out, anybody can work it out. And she's got full vision, and she can use nothing in regards to tech. However, I remember 1 year buying her a Kindle Fire. At the time, the tablet was just out. It wasn't the best version of itself. In fact, I think I sold it on not long after because it just wasn't being used. Mm. And you know, at the time, it just wasn't a great experience. Much better these days. And you know, I thought this would be a great entry point for her. I wasn't going to go out and buy an iPad for her because, you know, it was a lot of money and I wasn't sure if she was going to use it. So, you know, it seemed like 100 quid made sense. Anyway, she never used it. It got sold. And I thought, well, that's that then. I've tried her on tablets. And anyway, I bought my dad an iPad for Christmas 1 year. Far more into his technology. And I'd gone into the house, and there was my mother playing away with the iPad, and she was using it. And even though, as she's using it, she's telling me, I don't know how any of this stuff works, I don't know anything at all, she was able to get in and out of apps, and because what I did was I showed her that you could play solitaire on it, and she loves solitaire. So she played solitaire on it all the time. And that got her into using it. And I've made this argument on the show before, and it was a long time ago, I remember making this argument, because I know people who've said on this program and on others, you know, it's all very well saying this, Stephen, but, you know, there are people out there who just don't know how to use smartphones, who can't use smartphones. Now, I get that there's physical reasons why people can't use smartphones. I mean, I've had a lot of people struggle with the double tapping and being able to move around the screen because, you know, maybe your hands are shaking. And that is something which is a definite reason why you would want to look at alternative options. And there are other options out there. But what I would say is there are even other smartphone options out there, like the Capsys Vision 2 smartphone, mm-hmm. which is a smartphone, but it has a physical keyboard. So you can go down the smartphone route and have all the functions and all the joys of using a smartphone, but you don't have to have a glass screen. So that's an option that's out there. And I think it's just about trying to show, and as you say about the iPhone, everyone says about the expense of it, and you're right, you know, I wouldn't buy an iPhone 10 because why would I? I have no benefit in that screen. I did see, I was off for a couple of days last week, I got the chance to play around with an iPhone 10, and I just didn't get it. I thought, you know, it seemed okay, but my vision's at a level where it was just another phone to me. It didn't really mean anything. Yeah. So I'm not going to go and spend £1,000 on that. I'd much rather have an iPhone SE. And I think you're right. I think it comes to that question of what do you want to do? But what I would then go, you know, and that's often the case. You go into a computer shop and someone says to you, what do you need this computer for? You'll say, well, I'm going to do some word processing. I'm going to do some emails. I'm going to do some internet browsing. That's fine. But what you need to ask yourself is what the capability is in the future. I don't want to then have to go out and buy another machine to do all the things I've found out I could do. I'd rather buy the machine now and be done with it. I've got the device. All the capability lies before me. It's just up for me to learn. Don't you think that's more important, that people actually learn the technology, the mainstream tech that everybody's using? Is that not good to get on board?
I think we're a wonderful variety of people in the blind community. And I mean, my mum, I bought an iPod Touch because my sister, as well as being blind, she's also got very significant, severe MS. And so she can't, she's only got her voice, basically. She can't control anything any other way. And that's why the Echo is such a fantastic boon for her. But a while ago, I got an iPod Touch. I put this app called Vocal, V-O-K-U-L, which at the time was the only way to get really good comprehensive voice control over a lot of different functions, as long as you sort of were within the app. And I thought at the same time, well, my mum could use it to access podcasts. Homefront, I would strongly recommend that one. And she had a few that she wanted to, you know, be able to listen to The Archers when she wanted to, etc. She could not get to grips with this app at all. Downcast is my favourite podcatching app.
Yep.
But the whole idea about double tapping on something takes you down to the next level, and, you know, double tap at the top left of the screen or do a two-finger scrub. There was only three levels to this app: the main podcast list, then you tap into a list of podcasts, and then you tap into the now playing screen. The hours that I sat down with her trying to get these concepts in there. So there will always be edge cases. Now, I am definitely a fan of mainstreaming wherever possible. I think if I had to sum it up in that, it would be, if you can go mainstream, it most times are going to be cheaper. Although I was amazed that last week there was that talking blood pressure monitor that was actually cheaper than some sort of connected ones, which would be the other way that a blind person. So smart devices aren't always perhaps the best option. So if specialist can be affordable and can be current, because that is my main quibble with specialist devices, apart from the price, is that they're just not updated and they don't, you know, represent the latest technologies. So if you had a specialist device, I won't name it, but that would do something very similar to Seeing AI, and that costs an absolute fortune, will it do as well as Seeing AI? If it does today, will it do in 6 months' time? Because Seeing AI is going to improve all the time, whereas these specialist ones. So, you know, they're out there, and you've got to be so careful about mainstream versus specialist. You've got to evaluate each one in turn. And if the particular person in question has the aptitude for a smartphone with the solution, you know, the alternative solutions on there, then definitely explore that, perhaps, you know, in the first instance.
I think that's an interesting point. I want to say, Robin, about, you know, when you started off here, you said you had a backpack full of equipment. I think we all remember that, a piece of hardware to do a specific task. And you had to cart all that stuff around with you. But would you say, looking back, the specialized equipment that you had there, did they do that specific task better than, you know, like a jack of all trades smartphone, an app to do that specialist task?
So let's talk about the Trekker Breeze. A moment ago, I didn't mention a particular product, but what the heck, you know, let's mention the Trekker
Breeze. Let's go for it.
So that, I don't think, did as well as Blind Square on a phone.
Ooh, so, controversial.
You know, put that out there. So I would, you know.
But that's your view.
It might
that's depend. Your
experience. There have been some note takers that have, you know, been an absolute fortune and perhaps haven't had as much functionality as some more mainstream ones back then even. So it you just got to evaluate each one. And when you're in the assistive technology world, it really does pay to have some assistance out there to kind of help you make those decisions. And the RNIB obviously do that, AbilityNet do that in other areas of disability as well, because it is a bit of a minefield. And we do all know of people that have spent hundreds or thousands of pounds on something when, admittedly, you know, your own personal choice, you wouldn't have gone down that route, but you're not 100% sure if it was actually the best thing for that person either.
Can I also put a word in here for access to information as well? I think this is a key thing, and we certainly try to give as much information as we can here on the podcast. And yes, I believe someone did tell me once there are other podcasts that do this. I don't believe them. Cannot possibly be true. But you know, apparently there's other ones. And, you know, we talk about technology and we try to talk about it and give as much information about this tech as possible. But that is the problem, isn't it? If you are sitting there and you have a particular task you want to achieve and someone says to you, oh, if you get this specific piece of specialist tech, this will do it for you, then you'll probably just go, okay, well, that's what I need to buy. Because there's nowhere you can really go to research beyond that. You know, if you can't walk into a store and get access to all the knowledge about the specialist versus the mainstream tech. And that's why I think that conversation, it's not to be combative. It's not to say it's one or the other. It's to say specialist versus mainstream, for me anyway, is what is best for me. That's really the tag that needs to be added on the end of it. It's not just about, well, specialist is better or mainstream is better, end of story, because that's not true. There are so many examples of technology out there that I've used over the years that I would say is better. I would say a magnifier, we'll talk about magnifiers later with Claire Potter, but, you know, magnifiers are so much better than the magnifiers on the phone because of what they are, because of how they're built. So, physically they're better. But, you know, it might be the case that it's more expensive to have a magnifier than use the app on the phone. But then if you get better results, it's worth it in that case. So
particularly in a professional capacity where productivity is all important.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So it's about finding the balance.
And I think that there is so much out there and it's moving so quickly that information, like you say, is absolutely key. So, you know, podcasts like this, programs like this are invaluable. Getting in touch with the RNIB or AbilityNet, you know, that it's their full-time job to try and keep abreast of it. And some of the listeners may have heard myself and Jackie talking on In Touch recently. And there we were talking about talking white goods, appliances, that sort of thing. Now, something like the Samsung talking TVs is a good case in point because, you know, they tend to be in the upper price range and they have a talking EPG and that sort of thing. But it's worth people being aware that, you know, you could do it with the latest Fire TV, which is a little 30 or 40 quid thing that you plug into a standard TV. And that can talk with an Echo of any flavor, like an Echo Dot is around the sort of £40 or £50 mark. And there you can have a full voice enabled TV experience through, you know, that combination, and you get an awful lot more, of course, with having an Echo in your house as well. So there are lots of different alternatives out there. Alexa's being, oh, I shouldn't have said her name.
Oh,
she's
going
to talk to me
now
in a sec. she's not okay. Is going to be, you know, the Alexification of lots of white goods. Amazon are very strongly pushing to have her built into almost everything that you can buy, and the market wouldn't sustain those versions of the products, those models being, you know, 50 quid more. Amazon wants them to be everywhere for the same price. So, you know, we are in exciting times when it might be, for visually impaired people at least, that voice enablement of white goods are going to be, you know, relatively soon down the road for us, for very little additional cost. And if for a lot of people who want to go down the smart sort of connected devices route, then you could control them by an app on your smartphone as well, if you had a smartphone. So to just be aware of what's going on and all of the amazing developments is challenging. It's really challenging.
Yeah,
but if you went to specialist suppliers, they certainly wouldn't inform you of the mainstream alternatives that are available.
No, I heard your conversation on In Touch with Jackie Brown and yourself, and it was a really interesting conversation. And what was interesting from Jackie's point of view, she brought up the Amazon Echo, and a lot of people are doing this now. The great thing with the Amazon Echo is you don't need, and I could be wrong here, guys, clarify this for me, but I don't think you necessarily need a smartphone to own and use an Amazon Echo.
You can set it up by the elexa.amazon.co.uk if you go there as well. In Australia, for example, if you bought one and you wanted to use it there, you would have to set it up through a browser by going to Amazon, you know, elexa.amazon.com. So you can do it. You absolutely can.
But that takes a smartphone out of the equation for that device. And that's interesting because that opens up, and I think this is the next step. I mean, it's interesting from a blind or partially sighted person's perspective at the moment. There are two options on the table, it seems, from that mainstreaming point of view. It is the smartphone world, it's the tablet world, if you like, smartphone / tablet. And those devices can let you access a whole range of different devices. But of course, as you say, you do need to have an element of skill to use that. It does take time. I would advise anybody to take time and learn it, you know, find out about local classes. And, you know, if you buy an Apple device, go to an Apple store and sit in on the sessions, get, you know, learn from friends, ask your grandkids, you know, get them to show you. But at the same time, if you just can't do that, if that's not an area that's suitable for you, or you think just doesn't appeal to you, you know, especially someone who's retired might think, well, what do I need all that for? Then the other option, which is out there, is the Amazon Echo device. And that is a brilliant device because you just talk to it. You ask it what the time is or what's the weather today, basic commands, and it will give you that information audibly in a very friendly female voice. And the setup is fairly simple.
Somebody else could do it for you and leave you to it as well. You know, a family member or a friend or someone could do the actual setup. And then from then on, she's not going to be constantly asking you to change some settings on your phone, or, you know, it's a standalone device after that point.
But I'm
also compelled to say that you can obviously do a lot more with it than just telling the time
stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. but again, it's finding the door, isn't it? It's once you know the way in, then you can find out what else is in there. You know, you have to get through the front door first of these devices. And, you know, the options are pretty much endless. I mean, there's so many things you can do. I've got smart lights and I've got, you know, things that are controlled by it. But it's interesting, that conversation that you had with Jackie on In Touch, that developed into the conversation around the manufacturers themselves and what they need to do. And, you know, it's a very interesting point because can you get manufacturers to create large print talking washing machine devices? Or is it more likely that you'll get them to incorporate smart functionality that would let you use something like an Amazon Echo or a smartphone app, probably both, I'd imagine, to control that device? And which is better?
That's a really good point. And that's something we touched upon that got cut out of the In Touch thing, was that, yes, it doesn't have to have you don't have to have a smartphone in the equation, although that is a much, if people do have a smartphone or a tablet, you know, it's going to be configured to the way that they need to access it, you know, whether it's got voiceover running or invert colors or zoom, you know, magnification, whatever it might be. And so that's the perfect interface for a connected device, so they could use that to, you know, set up your whitewash or whatever it might be, or see how many minutes you've got left on your dishwasher cycle. But you're absolutely right. With the Echo, coming into play, and there are other ones available, Google Home, for example, and the HomePod has been delayed until next year, and the Harman Kardon Invoke, the Microsoft one, is it's going to take a while, I think, before it's kind of an active member in the ecosystem. But these devices are absolutely going to be able to talk to these appliances, and you know, it's a really natural interface to be able to just use your voice and to query it, not just to control it, but to query it, you know, how long left on the cycle, what is the current wash setting, you know, etc. So you need to know, you know, you will know whether you need to make a change before you set it going, whatever it might be. And because they're all mainstream devices, it's so cheap and it's such a vibrant ecosystem. So last week, Amazon announced another raft of versions of the Echo, including one called Connect, which is you just plug it into your landline. And now the voice calls that you could do Echo to Echo before, you can now do to anyone's landline or mobile using your landline tariff or package. So you've basically now got a talking phone, albeit in the house, but still, you know, there's so much out there, and people might be thinking, you know, do I get one of these big button phones from BT, or what can I do for a talking landline phone? I'm not aware of one, etc. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting times.
I think it is interesting times, and I think it's more of a it's more of a case of just seeing where this technology is all converging. You know, like you say, with the white goods and smart home and all these products. I think accessibility is a happy byproduct of all these things coming together. I've always been saying that, you know, a smartphone or even, let's just say, a website is a universal interface now, because, you know, everything can be connected together through the internet, through your Wi-Fi network. And because of where we are with accessibility on websites and, excuse me, smartphones, you know, as a happy byproduct of that, we do get mainstream accessibility. Whereas, going back to your point, Stephen, if someone had to make a specific washing machine and make that specifically for the visually impaired people, then because of the niche market, because of the different manufacturing methods, you're going to pay a lot more for that. So that's not saying that there isn't a need for that, but if you just look where this technology is going with all being connected, then it seems like, well, this platform, the voice platform or the smartphone platform, it's all going to be accessible, and that's going to be the interface of the future anyway. And happily, it should be accessible.
I mean, it's what do you want it to be? You know, where do you want your technology to go? I mean, we get so many emails from people who say, well, you know, I'd rather have the specialist kit because that's more relevant to me and it's something I can use, and that's great. But as you say, Robin, you know, technology moves on at such a level now that, you know, it's very hard to keep up, and the technology companies that make the specialist technology are years behind in some cases. Not in all cases, but in some cases, you know, that technology has not and would not be upgraded because it's not feasible for the companies to go out and remake the talking microwave or whatever it might be. Because really, what's the point in upgrading it? What's the cost implications are huge. And, you know, yeah, are people going to buy a new talking microwave every 6 months? Probably not.
Now, I think it's worth saying that at AbilityNet, we're not about tech for tech's sake. You know, we don't want to push the latest hotness on people. If the device they've got, whether it's specialist or mainstream, is still working for them and it ain't broken, then we definitely wouldn't try to, you know, impose the latest gadgets on them. So, but you're absolutely right. 9 times out of 10, the mainstream is going to be moving forward at a much faster pace. And to Sean's earlier point, you know, the web is the universal interface. And when mobile came along, websites, particularly when they were being rendered on mobile, were so much cleaner and easier to use. And, you know, I remember going to m.facebook.com ebay.co.uk/mobile, even before smartphones came along, because it was, you know, so much cleaner. And I think that these voice interfaces are like the ultimate distillation of a user interface, right down to the very basics. And so that really does spell good news for the mainstreaming of, you know, bringing a whole range of information, services, and functionality to disabled people, obviously, so long as you can talk and hear, but actually, and again, this would involve having a smartphone in the loop somewhere. But, you know, if you can't speak, you can type to the A lady just like you can to Siri. If you can't hear, then everything that she says is listed, you know, on the screen of your phone as well. So we're not being exclusive to people that have got, you know, functioning ears and larynx. But it's definitely looking good for the mainstreaming of technology, particularly for the visually impaired community. I know as you get older, hearing starts to become an issue, but, you know, buy one with a really, really loud speaker. They come in loads of different flavors these days.
That's right, yeah. But you can do
so what if the neighbors hear?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not your PIN number, it's fine.
He's washing his balls again.
Yeah. He's got an hour left on that cycle. It'll never be done by midnight. Okay, well, listen. Sorry, you go. No, go for it.
Well, just a very, very quick finishing off. You know, you mentioned about PIN numbers and stuff, and I was at a bank recently talking through what an optimal banking skill would look like for them. And, you know, there was discussion around putting your PIN number in and that sort of thing. And there are issues to do with, you know, saying those out loud, even in the security of your own home. The Google Home does voice print, which is it can tell the different members of the family one from another, and it can use that to serve up a more personalized experience. And that could be part of the sort of security, the two-factor authentication for doing banking, etc. But let's not lose sight of what I've always done for the last 47 years, or actually, let's say the last 30, when I absolutely couldn't use an ATM visually. I would just grab the next person in the queue. Here's my credit card. Here's my PIN. Puts all the buttons for me. And thankfully, you know, they didn't sort of just, wouldn't even have to run away. They could just stroll away with my money. So that was the level of security we had before. Yeah. So this, you know, this is really spelling good news, I think, for particularly vulnerable people in the home who aren't that tech savvy. I think it's, you know, the future's looking good.
Just never give your PIN number to anyone. Don't do a Robin. That's really
it's too late.
Good.
I've done it about 400 times.
I know. I find a great way to get money out of you, Robin, just by asking you.
Just follow him around.
Do you want me to stay on air?
Until he goes
follow
to an
you
ATM.
Around the place.
Follow me to the nearest ATM.
Just before you go, I want to talk about your brilliant podcast that you do. You seem to have amassed, I think it's about 8 million skills now on that podcast, at least. The Dot to Dot podcast, which explains to people all about the Echo Dot and its skills. And skills are the key things. It's almost like apps, if you like, isn't it, for your Echo device. Without skills, you really are just asking what's the time and what's the weather. Skills give it so much more capability. But you set up this podcast, which I'd like to say, actually, Tech Talk is...
You guys, were the cause of it.
We began.
I'll blame you.
Yeah, it's all my fault. But yeah, you kind of took it on and you got a podcast out of it. So what I'm wondering is, when do we get a cut out of that? The proceeds are always welcome, Robin.
You can have, what about 50% of everything that I make?
Where can people find this podcast?
Yeah, so in any podcatching app, you go to just search for Dot to Dot. That's just three separate words. Or just search for Dot to Dot podcast in Google or something. It's in iTunes. It's everywhere, really. And if you've got an Echo of any flavor, then just ask her to play it, and she will.
Fantastic. Oh, of course, yeah. Just ask the Echo Dot to play. How wonderful. Yeah. Listen, that is so good of you to come on. And thanks so much, Robin.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for downloading the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.